I think that, I mean, especially in Oakland, there's been some pretty noticeable divisions. A lot of the more quote-unquote peaceful protesters feel that their form of protest, that their message is regularly overshadowed by the more confrontational elements, which in my opinion has led to, it is one of the reasons why there's been sort of a dwindling participation in the movement in Oakland. But that second question about it doesn't have a clear objective, I sort of disagree with that. I think that the movement's actually gotten a lot more focused, and it's hooked up with a lot of activist organizations, a lot of NGOs, and it's really organizing around specific causes now.
Like foreclosure in Bernal.
Yeah, like foreclosure, like prison issues in California. And it's hooking up with a lot of longstanding organizations that have...
And you think years. That makes it a more focused message rather than a more dispersed message?
I think, yeah, I think that it's now where in the beginning I feel like it was more of a place to think about ideas and to brainstorm how we can make society better, how people can make society better, rather. And now I feel like people are actually taking those actions and they're taking those steps on a variety of fronts, on whatever causes inspire them.
And so what's going to be happening next in the Occupy movement as we hit spring here?
Nationally, there's a few very, very big protests that are being planned. It was actually, if you remember back in December, it was when all the camps were being taken down, they actually mentioned that a lot of people were talking about how this might be the time to move on to the next stage, to start doing something besides setting up camps and just quote-unquote occupying places. So in the springtime, there's a big May Day protest planned. It's a big general strike, and it's going to be international. Oakland's participating here in the Bay Area, San Francisco. And that, I think, should be a pretty huge event. There's also in Chicago, and I think it's in May as well, there's the G8 and NATO summit. And so they're planning a big month-long occupation of Chicago, which is supposed to bring in people from around the world.
And what's happening here locally?
So essentially all of the Bay Area camps have been taken down. There's still general assemblies that are being held regularly, but there's no focal point anymore.
You mean like a civic center plaza?
Yeah, there's no Justin Herman Plaza. There's no Frank Ogawa anymore. They're there for general assemblies, but there's no camps.
Mm-hmm.
But what has happened is the general assemblies, first off, have sort of spread. So there's general assemblies now sometimes in Fruitvale. There's sometimes in the Mission. And it's also broken off into a lot of these smaller groups, as I was talking about. So in Oakland, there's a bunch. There's Occupy the Hood, which is doing a lot about school closures. There's 5 schools that are slated for closure next year in Oakland. So they're working on addressing that issue, trying to support public education in that city. Occupy San Quentin is organizing to improve prison conditions. And there's just a pretty big protest, as you mentioned, just earlier this week. And then there's also Occupy Bernal Hill, which is an interesting community group, which is focusing on foreclosures in that neighborhood. And they've actually stopped a few of these foreclosure auctions.
You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Holly Kernan here with reporter Joaquin Palomino, who's been following the Occupy Bay Area movement. And let's hear a clip from the panel discussion that just happened, Which Way Forward, where a number of Occupy activists discussed the future of the movement. This is Occupy Washington, D.C. activist Margaret Flowers talking about the new type of organizing that's grown out of the Occupy movement.
But now we have a job to do. Now that that energy has been released, how do we funnel that into positive and constructive change? It's time to move out into the communities and to start discussing the real issues that affect us in our communities, the foreclosures, the lack of jobs, and to find solutions, to come together and find solutions for those. We need to start meeting our human needs now.
That was Occupy activist Margaret Flowers. And let's also hear from Zappo Montag, where he's talking about what he calls a vanguard mentality.
By vanguardist, I'm talking about behaviors that kind of decide for the community or for the people what the movement entails, as opposed to letting the community kind of have a larger input. It feels like some people feel like they know the way and they need to lead the way and people will join.
That's Zappo Montag, a longtime Occupy Oakland activist and a critic of some of its current decisions, Joaquin.
Yeah, so I spoke with Zappo, and he was actually still, I want to make clear, he's still a big supporter of the movement. He's still heavily involved in the Occupy movement in Oakland, but he feels like it's sort of become, at its core, this sort of self-selected group, because as I mentioned, a lot of people, a lot of the more peaceful protesters have been discouraged because...
Alienated.
Yeah. He used that word as well, alienated.
And I know that a lot of people in Oakland are resentful of the services that are going to, you know, from the police, et cetera, to the Occupy movement and taking away from a city that's so financially strapped already.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I mean, and especially when you have all of these just showdowns with the police regularly in a city that is struggling and... that is crime-ridden. It's not. A lot of people don't think that's a good image to have for the Occupy camp.
So let's hear again from Zappo Montag about what he wants to see in the future.
We've finally gone through enough kind of mistakes tactically and strategically that people are really now finally really questioning what is the strategy. Have we had one? We are people who believe that we want major changes. We want to help make that happen, but we also believe that we're not going to impose that on people. We need to find a way that we can engage everybody and find out what everybody wants that change to be.
Again, that's Zappo Montag, Occupy Oakland critic and supporter, talking about what sort of change the Occupy movement hopes to have. So what impact has it already had, Joaquin?
I mean, one of the biggest impacts that the Occupy movement has had has just been starting this conversation and this debate about economic inequality in the U.S. It's been a long time since there's been a big, broad movement that's centered around the distribution of wealth in this country. It's also had some really big effects on policy. It's an interesting thing that happened in November. Florida Representative Ted Deutsch introduced the Occupied Bill, which is a loaded acronym for Outlawing Corporate Cash, Undermining the Public Interest in Our Elections and Democracy.
So is that sort of a backlash to Citizens United?
It is,
yeah. A response?
Yeah, it was it was meant to sort of end corporate personhood and take money out of, or take huge sums of money out of elections.
And did it pass?
It didn't get very far, but it still was introduced, which in my opinion is a pretty big deal, especially with that acronym Occupied. It was sort of an homage to the Occupy movement itself.
And you're saying that you've seen the Occupy movement really change the conversation in this country.
Yeah, yeah. Another really interesting thing that happened last November, when the federal government was talking about cutting certain social services, talking about cutting Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security in response to the debt ceiling crisis. And some say that because Occupy had put this message of economic inequality at sort of the center of political discussion, of social discussion, that couldn't get very far. Because as part of the bill, as the Republicans presented it, it would also cut taxes for the richest 1%. And so a lot of politicians just in this political environment didn't think it was feasible to cut these services while also cutting taxes.
And we're talking with Joaquin Palomino about the Occupy movement, what it's accomplished so far, and its future. Let's listen to Margaret Flowers, another Occupy activist, speaking about the movement's direct impact on national policy regarding foreclosures.
There's been a tremendous effort to occupy the homes, to prevent foreclosures and evictions. President Obama was doing everything he could to pressure the attorney generals of the states to let the banks off the hook in this foreclosure crisis, to give them immunity from prosecution. That was the direction that he was heading. But because of the Occupy movement, although the provisions that went through are woefully short of what's needed to turn around this foreclosure crisis, he did not give immunity to the banks, and in fact is giving some money to the states so that people can sue the banks who treated them fraudulently.
So this was pretty exciting for me to hear, because, first I should make it clear that I support the movement. I want to see it succeed. And so following it and being a part of it, sometimes I feel like it's its own bubble and that it's not sort of branching out of itself, that it's all self-contained. But actually hearing how it's affecting policy and speaking to people who I would have no idea, I would have never guessed that they would have supported the causes of Occupy or supported the movement itself, saying that they're in support of it, in support of its goals, I mean, to me, it's all just really inspiring to hear.